Welcome to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. I'm Joey Roberts. Welcome back to 15 Minutes of Fearless. Today's short, quick episode is sponsored by Clarity6.ai, your one-stop place for all your marketing needs to boost your sales in 2024, specifically made for Amazon sellers by Amazon sellers. Jamie Davidson is joining us today for this phenomenal episode because I want to put you in the hot seat and drill into some of the aspects of building your nine-figure Amazon brand from your neighbor's garage all the way up to over 3,000 products. Jamie, welcome.
Thanks, Joey. Great to be here. Looking forward to the discussion.
I mean, clearly your strategy has evolved over the decade or so that you have been selling, but something I've been wanting to bring onto this podcast is talking about challenges and solutions. And a question that I think I've been asked four times this week by our AMZ Insiders members is about launching products, right? We're all building our brands and our stores. And to know that you have launched personally over 3,000 products in your brands, it's like, well, how did you select new products to sell on Amazon? And then you also have to balance managing them and beating out your competition. Like, how does that even happen?
Yeah, so agree. That is definitely the number one thing that people, whether selling on Amazon or people that are not selling, it's probably the most intimidating thing. Like, hey, what am I going to sell? Right. We all have that dynamic. And in our case, like, hey, we knew there was an opportunity around cell phone cases at the time, because this was, you know, back before cell phone cases had really emerged as a huge seller on Amazon. It was the earlier days. And so once we knew kind of that case, like the product, that one specific design, but there was other things that came with it. So for us, within that space, actually, initially the iPad was one of our first products, the iPad case, because that was really huge. If you remember, way back when initially, you kind of had iPod touches, and you had the iPads, and then the iPhone came out. So we knew there was an opportunity for like this light product that could do well. And from there, it was, I would say, the key. One of the things I think we did right was that, even though we weren't like great product designers ourselves, we didn't have a background in design, we had a mindset to think of ourselves as we are product designers, or we're designing a product, not as Amazon sellers as much, but more that we're a product design company. And so with that, that helped us to actually think about like, hey, how's this going to look? Is this right? What else do we want to do differently? What are other products just like it we could sell or test out, trying to see if they'll also sell? As opposed to like, yeah, we want to be these, you know, understand the Amazon algorithm. So that helped initially because we had one kind of core focus, which was the iPad cases and then the cell phone cases. And then we kind of built the products around that kind of core niche, which, you know, grew into a very big niche. But we focused around that, and then products expanded from that, from everything from cases to accessories to other cases for, you know, years later for Nintendo Switches, that kind of stuff. It all started with kind of this one main area.
I do have to say, every time I'm shopping and I'm buying like an iPhone case or a case for my kid's Switch or iPad or his Fire, like all these things, I'm like, am I just putting more money into Jamie's pocket? But I think about it all the time, and I know how much work went into all of these brands. So it is super cool. So as you're launching these products, how do you figure out, well, one, they're going into separate brands, right? Because I know you had the cell phone accessories, but then you also had fitness products and some pet products. I know all of Jamie's products because I've actually been to the warehouse that looks like a massive Home Depot, and I've seen the products on the shelves. I was like, wow, this is phenomenal, and it's organized impeccably. But how do you get to that level? I guess it's like you're in your neighbor's garage, then you're launching stuff, and then you need a warehouse, and now you're managing all this.
Yeah, I'd say a couple of things come to mind. One is that what we did, which was what I recommend for other people too, is I would try to focus on one category for as long as you can. And that is something we actually did. We focused on cell phone accessories for a number of years. For like the first 5 years, we never sold any other products at all. Even as the business got to beyond $50 million, yes, we could have sold pet supplies. Yes, we could have sold, but we did not at that point because we were still building and trying to become a leader in this massive niche and it became a very competitive space over time. It was only later till we really had kind of infrastructure. And of course, a lot of people approached us about ideas and wanting to sell other products. And so eventually we did some partnerships with some other people partnerships with some manufacturers to do things like pet supplies or like the doggy poop bags, things like that. Eventually fitness equipment, as you mentioned. But initially what I'd recommend is just, you know, don't try to diversify or go too broad too quickly. Stay focused on your niche. And there's a phrase that, you know, we like to say, which is there's riches in niches. And, you know, so with Amazon, you know, building a niche brand, you don't need to have, you know, a brand that got to the scale that our brands have gotten to. But if you can, you know, you're a great example, Joey, right? You focus on one category and area, and then, you got to seven figures plus with it. And then you have the ability to then, you know, move on from there. So that's the first thing. I would just try to not, instead of diversifying, you can end up distracting, we call it diversification at times. If you try to go too broad, too quick. And obviously it depends on the market and the product and what you think the opportunity is. But usually there should be, you know, a group of other products related in that same brand that you can really, really build and grow.
Yeah, great advice. Keep it in your brand, grow as big as you can before you open up another brand for time and resources. And then at what point were you hiring and scaling and figuring out processes and systems?
Yeah. So again, this is where I would say, so this was, it was fairly early on for us where we were certainly thinking about these things. And what I would recommend, this is where I would say it goes back to, you know, what are your owner's goals? Because now when you start an Amazon business, you have more options than maybe, you know, than we had or we thought we had when we started ours initially, which is you can have an objective to build the brand. Again, back to you, build it to seven figures and exit, or maybe multiple seven figures and exit. You could have a goal to build it, you know, and go on for as long as you can, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million. So regardless, you want to understand what your goal is, because if your goal is to build it as big as you possibly can, then you definitely want to have more systems in place earlier, the earlier the better. But that was one of our advantages because, you know, I had fairly technical background in engineering, and my partner, Jason, was an IT background, so kind of computer science background. So he actually led that effort in terms of building like our own custom solutions in terms of our logistics and, you know, how we would manage what we had. There's a lot of agencies out there that do that stuff now, but, you know, it's super important to have systems, and systems doesn't have to be something technical. It could also just be a repeatable process in place and how you're measuring the business, what, you know, who's doing what kind of SOP. So standard operating procedures, how things are supposed to be done. So any kind of a task that can be repetitive or that is repetitive, you know, that there's something documented that you could hand off to like a virtual assistant to do it or just for yourself to check on the business so things aren't falling through the cracks.
Yes. And I think there's always room for improvement and evolving on the systems. And let's talk about teams you built out. Even in China, there's like a team of 200 people. And I know one of your partners helped you build that out, but why did you think that was necessary?
Yes. So again, I think this is something that if you want to build at scale, then there's some you're going to start intersecting with kind of traditional companies and processes that are kind of fundamentals of business that you're going to have to think about. Like, how do you build a team? How do you maintain a team? So one of the challenges we had in Atlanta was, you know, Amazon more and more crosses over with things that we talk a lot about, which is like social media strategies and how you leverage some of the other platforms or influencers. And so we would, as one example, we would hire young, you know, basically people that we would train to become young marketers for us, digital marketers. And it might cost $60,000-$70,000 to hire them and train them. By the time they got good in a year or two, they might quit and go do something else. Right. And so it's just hard to build the talent pool within one geography. Like Atlanta's a, you know, decent sized city, but it was hard to really build that to scale that here. And in our case, because Jason was from China originally, he could build a team there. We could hire, like in China, we could hire a native speaking French person within a week that knows Amazon in China. Right. And they could manage our Amazon business for our China, you know, for the brands that we're selling in France, for example. So just the talent pool is different there. For most people, it's not going to be China. For most people, it's probably going to be something like mostly like the Philippines, or, you know, if it's a developers, you know, Costa Rica, wherever it is. But it was, you know, it's really important to build your team and have a way to do it. It tends to be more remote. It is definitely, you know, less costly, but you still have to have processes in place to manage those people, how you're going to do it, what they're going to do, how many people you want, et cetera. But, you know, it's that balance of finding the right talent at the right cost as well.
It's all super cool. And we'll probably do a part two of this that you can listen to in a week from now on the next 15 minutes of Fearless. And last question for this part one series is, what, there's been so many changes, and I know you've evolved and I can hear it as you're talking right now, but we're in 2024, and what is something you're excited about for sellers to take advantage of?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So something I've been working on for the past year is, I was just talking about social media and the evolution of how kind of the intersection of kind of e-commerce and really social platforms. Obviously, people know TikTok and TikTok stores and Instagram and Facebook and all those things, but really the ability to communicate with your customers. So the tool we have is called Clarity6.ai. And Clarity6.ai is really a tool that helps people basically have a system for themselves without having to build it all like we did ourselves. Basically, one platform that can pull in your Amazon customers to get their emails, to get phone numbers, to be able to remarket and re-email or email your clients so they become yours, your customers, so they buy from you again. Lots of cool things you can do with it, but that's it, clarity6.ai. I know we'll be doing some live events coming up here soon, our next live event. If people are interested, you can go to clarity6live.com to get a spot and see how we're doing it, but it's really a cool, inexpensive way to really, really grow your sales at an accelerated rate there.
Yes. And it's always great to use tools that are built by Amazon sellers for Amazon sellers, because it solves pain points that we've had for years and had to figure out tools to pull together. And I'm putting the links in the notes. So in the chat, there's no chat on a podcast, in the notes section. So it's easy links that y'all can check out if you're interested. Well, Jamie, it has been so awesome to have you back on the Fearless Sellers podcast. And just so all of you listeners know, I don't tell Jamie what the topic is, even though we're business partners. I just pull him in and I start asking him questions and I put him on the spot. So I really appreciate you giving us insight, the ins and outs of your business. It's one of my favorite things to talk about, because it's just so impressive that you've sold over $100 million worth of sales and products on Amazon. So congratulations on your success, and we will have you back on in a week. So until then, stay fearless. If you're already selling on Amazon, or you're looking to get started and you want my help, go to amzfearless.com to book a free strategy selling session. We can see if we can help you out. That's amzfearless.com. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to the Fearless Sellers, the Women of Amazon podcast. Until next time, stay fearless.